So I don't know if you've heard it this morning already. I don't know if you felt it already this morning. But this is a morning where he's drawing us close. And what we were able to do through praise is push out of the way the things that have gotten between him and us so that we're able to draw close. And it's like the picture is you're sitting on your lounge chair, you're sitting on your comfortable sofa, and he's coming and saying, let me sit right beside you. Let's have a conversation today. Let's talk today. Let's spend time together today. So do you realize that prayer is just talking to him? We make it so much more complicated than that. But if you picture Jesus sitting beside you on the sofa or on a lounge chair next to your lounge chair, he just wants to talk to you. Do you remember that Jesus often went away alone to talk to the Father? And at one point it said he spent the whole night talking to his Father. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, our Father who is in heaven. Jesus told his disciples that he had prayed for them. Jesus told us that our prayers don't have to be long or complicated because he already knows what we need. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 instructs us to pray without ceasing. James 5:16 tells us to confess our faults, our slip-ups to each other and pray for each other. Why? See, a lot of times when we're given instructions, there's a why. So that we may be healed. Come on. How many people want to say, hey, can I sit down and talk with you and tell you all my faults and slip-ups over the last couple weeks? And then after doing that, receive prayer and healing. Come on. Philippians 4:6, we are told that instead of worrying, how many are good at that? I'm not going to make you raise your hand. But instead of worrying, we're to pray about everything. Pray about everything. And then thank God for what he has done, and you and I will be able to receive God's peace. Come on, I think we've heard that so far today, haven't we? Instead of worrying, pray. Thank God for what he has done. Why? Because that reminds you, he helped me before. He helped this person before. He helped that person before. And then receive his peace. Okay, that was introduction. So the last time I spoke with you, Marty alluded to this, we talked about spiritual armor, spiritual weapons. We looked at the responsibilities that spiritual fathers and earthly fathers have. So we're going to go back to Ephesians 6. And Paul goes on from there in verse 18, and that's where we're going to pick up. So I'll pause a minute and let you turn there. Ephesians 6, 18. And we're going to dig into that word a little bit today. Dig into those verses. Try to understand what Paul is saying in this verse. Ephesians 6, 18. All right, I'm going to read it, then we'll go back and dissect it a little bit, dig into it a little bit. With all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf. Ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain the good news, which is a mystery. I am in chains now, still proclaiming this message as God's ambassador. Okay, so let's look at some of these words, some of these phrases. With all prayer. Well, we just said prayer is conversation. Prayer is talking to God. But I'm sure those of you that have been in any of Marty's classes, you know that there's different types of prayer. So Paul is using a particular word for prayer here, and this is what that word means. Earnestly moving toward God. Come on. A morning about closeness. Relationship, spending time with. So you can pray from afar. Oh God, way up there in the heavens somewhere. I'm hoping that maybe you're listening. Okay, that's not what this word is. This word is with all prayer, earnestly moving toward God, expressing what you need. Now, there is a difference between needs and wants. And as a father and grandfather, you know, if my grandchildren say, Pap, I really want, and they know that if I find it at a good price and I'm out somewhere, I will probably pick it up for them. But it's not something they need. It's just something they want. You know, I want my fourth Nerf gun, or in some cases, 15th Nerf gun. Or, you know, I want one more thing to play with in your pool. Okay, not a need, a want. But this says, with all prayer, earnestly moving toward God, expressing what you need. You know, so sometimes you have to ask him that. Is this just something I want? Or do I really need this? Now, again, as a loving father, he'll often give us what we want, but that's not what this word is here. And the third point, isn't it interesting that one Greek word can have all these meanings? You know, in English, we've just decided to condense everything. You know, there's four words for love, but we, instead of breaking them out, we just say love. Well, same with prayer. There's a bunch of words for prayer, but we just say prayer. And we're including every meaning every time we say the word. But this one is earnestly moving toward God, expressing what we need while believing he's able. Yay! So you're not just moving toward him, you're not just telling him what you need, but you actually think he's able to provide that. Yes. Come on! That's what this prayer is. Paul is saying, this is the kind of prayer we should be doing. Not, oh God, I hope someday. Okay, right? Believing he is able. Okay, with all prayer and petition. That's another type of prayer. This word might be in your translation, supplication. I mean, how often do we go around saying I'm supplicating? But those of you that still like King James, I'm sorry. I don't read King James because I get too distracted. Prayer and petition means making a specific request. So, you know, I can go up to Kurt and I could say, boy, I hope you'll help me today. Well, you know, he has no idea what that means. He can say, well, sure, you know, what do you need? Well, supplication is saying, this is what I need help with today. I hope you'll help me today change my flat tire. Then when he comes over and changes my flat tire, I know he met my need. But we say to God, oh God, watch over me today and help me today. Well, can we be a little more specific? What do you need today? What kind of help do you need today? What strength do you need today? Sometimes we don't know, and we just say, help! And we're hoping he knows. But this word is supplication. This is making a specific request. Praying at all times. How do we do that? I have a job. I have two jobs. Okay, January through June, I had three jobs. Okay, I only have two during the summer, but I had three. So how am I going to be praying at all times? Well, because some prayer is out loud, some is not out loud. Some is with the mind, some is not with the mind. Okay, Pastor Steve, what are you talking about? Our spirit can communicate with the Holy Spirit even when our mind is somewhere else. Oh, thank God for that, because my mind is always somewhere. Okay, even Sunday mornings, I'm worshiping, and then my mind flies here, and then I drag it back. And then it goes here, and then I drag it back. But then I'll notice my spirit is still worshiping and I'm still communing. It's just getting my mind where my spirit is. Okay? Praying at all times. Oh, here it is. In the spirit. Yay! Okay? It says that the spirit helps us even when we don't know how to pray. Come on, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because there are days where I have situations, I'm like, I don't even know what to ask. Anybody else get there? I'm not even sure how to pray about this. So Holy Spirit, let's just have you pray. You can pray in tongues. It says sometimes you just groan. I've done that. I don't know about any of you, but it's like, oh, God. You know, I don't know exactly what to pray or how to pray. And with this in mind, with this in view, with what in view? Be on the alert. Be watching. That word means staying awake and watching for what God will do. So you've gotten your needs. You've moved toward God. You've expressed those needs. You're believing He's able. And then you forget you prayed that and walk away. No, this is saying now stay alert and watch for how He's going to meet that need, how He's going to answer that prayer. Sometimes we forget that part, don't we? I do. Then the next day I get up and I pray the same thing again. He was like, well, you didn't watch how I did that yesterday. Oh, okay. Be alert. Be watching. Some of these words. With all perseverance. Okay. That's not one of my favorite words. Who wants to be persevering? Okay. But listen what this means. Diligently continuing. Diligently continuing, earnestly moving toward while patiently waiting. Yay. Okay, we should maybe write that out. Carry it with us all week. Wave it in front of our faces. Okay, pray at all times in the Spirit, being alert, and with perseverance. Come on. Diligently continuing and earnestly moving toward while patiently waiting. Okay? Frank and Karen have been doing that this year. Jack and Nancy have been doing this year. Karen and family have been doing it this year. Ed and Cheryl have been doing it this year. And we can stand with them because it says, and make supplication for all the saints. Okay, this is one of these overwhelming words to me because if I pray through my prayer list of 12, 15, 18 people, that's a lot of time. This says, for all the saints. If I prayed for all the saints, I wouldn't do anything but stay locked in my bedroom. But He must know how I can still do that. Okay? So maybe we need to ask, how can I be praying for all the saints? The other believers in Newville, the other believers where I work. Okay, how can I do that? Diligently continuing and earnestly moving toward while patiently waiting. Wow, patient and waiting are not my words. I'm not patient and I don't wait well. So I have some things to learn. I don't know about any of you. So this perseverance really jumped out to me today. And Paul says, pray on my behalf. Now, there's a lot this man could ask for prayer for because he's in prison. He's writing this letter to the Ephesians church from prison. So if I was writing, I would say, and pray for me that I get out of the stinking jail. Right? Okay? I don't know about the rest of you, but just being honest. But he says, pray for me. Ask God to give me the right words. Wow, that would not be on the top of my list. It would be on my list, but it would not be on the top of my list. And the right words there means saying the right thing at the right time. You know, a lot of us, we have the right words, the right things, but we don't say them at the right time. Or we're at the right time, but we say the wrong things. Come on. So that is really a good prayer. God, give me the right words at the right time, so that I can boldly explain the good news, which is a mystery. Okay, that word mystery means something that was previously a secret. So if you've ever read a mystery novel or watch a mystery TV show, I mean, oh, I don't know where my wife went, but oh, I think she's teaching today. But she loves whodunits. I don't love whodunits because I get too wrapped up in shows, and when somebody gets killed, I'm just a wreck. And so she likes to watch them get killed and then figure out who did it. Yeah, no thanks. Okay, we're watching a show now, and there's enough cliffhangers on it, and I get involved. When something happens, I sit there and cry. She just looks at me. I'm like, I don't know why. That's why I can't watch these shows, because I get so invested in the characters and in their lives. And on the other day, the one person's very best friend died, and she's crying, and the family's crying, and I'm crying. So, yeah. You know, you all do that with football. You scream at people you've never met, will never meet you, and you're screaming and yelling and rooting for them like they can hear you. Well, I do that with TV shows. And when they're driving down the street and someone plows into them, yeah, my kids know. I grab my heart. I literally do, and then I yell. I go, "Oh!" And they're like, "Really, Dad?" It's a TV show. They're actors and actresses. But for me, it's real. Okay, but a mystery, it says it's something that was a secret. So when you watch a mystery show or read a mystery book, the whole idea is you are figuring out the mystery, so it's no longer a secret. So Paul is saying what you came and did, the new covenant, the good news, is a mystery to so many people. Give me the right words at the right time, so for them, it's no longer a secret. So that they'll say, oh, that's what Christianity is all about. That's what Jesus is all about. That's why I keep hearing about Jesus dying on the cross. That's what we really celebrate at Christmas. All of those things. So give me the right words to explain it so it's no longer a mystery. I am in chains now, still boldly speaking, publicly with confidence, your message. My first thing is I'd be complaining. This is lousy in here. How did I end up in here? God, I was doing your will. Okay, anybody else? I was at the right place at the right time, and I still am having trials and tribulations. I don't like the food. I don't like the company. I don't like the smells. I don't like the bathroom. I would have my whole list. But he is still publicly, boldly, with confidence, that's what that word means, proclaiming your message as your representative, as your ambassador. So when we leave here, we go out as his ambassador. That means that we should be representing him. So do you know what that means? We don't express. We should not be expressing our opinions and our preferences, because we all have them. Every one of us has strong opinions, strong preferences. More than once, I've wanted to express mine, and he goes, because I'm to be expressing his opinions and his preferences. Wow. That one was like a, yeah. His opinions and his preferences. Okay, so what did Paul encourage us to do? Paul encouraged us to persevere, to diligently continue, to keep moving forward. He didn't quit even after being arrested and put in jail. He wrote a number of the books of the Bible from jail. He had enough connection with God that even in prison, he could hear the Holy Spirit and write, inspired by the Holy Spirit, these letters, which would become most of the New Testament. He continued to boldly proclaim the gospel and the good news inspired by the Holy Spirit. He wrote to the church at Colossae, continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Firmly established and steadfast. Not moved away from the hope of the good news that you have heard. So let's just be honest and real. There are some days, some weeks, some months that it'd be easy just to give up. I'm going to move over here because I keep trying to see Karen and she's right behind. Okay. That now I can see everybody. Yay! Okay. It is so easy to be shy or hesitant. We all get tired and weary. Come on. Oh, I expected to hear a bunch of amens to that one. Am I the only one that gets tired and weary? I hit a wall a couple weeks ago. I came home from Elam Pastors Conference with COVID, not a great thing to bring back. I brought back some good things, but that was not a good thing. And then, because I didn't know I had it, the very night that I came back, I spent some time with my wife, sitting, watching TV, holding hands, and I gave it to her. And so I had it, and then immediately she got it, and so I was doing everything. Cooking, cleaning, shopping, laundry, the dogs, the pets, everything. And then all of a sudden I realized I'd given out all my energy. I was just hitting a wall. I couldn't think to do anything else. And I had some more other thing else's to do. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do. I am out of energy. I was tired going into it because I had just gotten through COVID and for a second time. And now I'm just having to do all these extra things. But God has been challenging us to be warriors. And warriors, do they quit, give up, or are shy or hesitant? Not any that I know. Pastor Van, do they quit, give up, or are they shy or hesitant? No. And is that what God expects and hopes for us? To quit, give up, be shy or hesitant? So what's Jesus say about that? So bear with me. I had to get a new phone. I don't ever have a choice with my phones. They always just die on me. I have them like 2-3 years and they stop working. And so, you know, last time they wouldn't send text or messages, and now this present one that I just had just kept locking up. And I'd sit there and look at it and it'd look at me and yeah. So I didn't want to get another phone because I hate getting used to another phone, but here I am with one anyway. So give me a minute. You know, and then when you get a new phone, you realize it doesn't have anything on it that I'm used to. Our home security system isn't on here. My Bible app wasn't on here. You know, and so you spend how many days just, yeah. Okay, so here I am. I'm persisting. I'm persevering. Not giving up. That is my brother who's supposed to be thinking of the best of me, encouraging me. Now he says I murder phones. All right. Okay, I see how it is. Oh, I don't know. Everybody else, they seem to, you know, yeah. But all right. Luke 18. Yeah, okay. One day Jesus told his disciples a story, a parable, so that they would always pray. Okay, this is right where we are today. Always pray and never give up. Come on. There was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. And a widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in my dispute." The judge ignored her, but finally said to himself, "I don't care about God, and I don't care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy." This is New Living. "I'm going to see that she gets her justice, because she's wearing me out." Then the Lord said, "You can learn a lesson from this unjust judge. He did render a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his people who cry out to him day and night? Will he put them off? I tell you no. He will grant them justice quickly. So if a judge who didn't care about God, didn't care about people, were willing to answer a request, can't we be confident that God will answer our request? Galatians 6 challenges us. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. More than once I've had to remind myself, you're tired, but you're tired from doing good, not evil, not bad, not things that don't have to do with family and God and that kind of thing. At just the right time, okay, sounds sort of like the prophetic word we heard today about new feathers and moving forward. At just the right time, okay, that means his right time. A lot of times that doesn't line up with my right time. My right time was 3 days ago, and I'm still waiting for his right time. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if. Oh, wait a minute. An if? I don't like ifs. You know, I just want to stop there. God's going to just give me a harvest of blessing. And I could preach for 3 weeks on harvest of blessing, harvest of blessing. But I have some responsibility there if you and I don't give up. Therefore, whenever you and I have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. So I'm heading toward the end here, and I want us to think a little bit about Caleb. I think he's such an interesting character, and I've studied him before, so I didn't have to do a whole lot of study. I just had to remind myself. So I want to remind you about Caleb. So the Israelites, if you recall the story, moaning and groaning and complaining, they left Egypt. They got to the Red Sea, moaning and groaning and complaining again. And God used Moses to part the sea. They go through, and the water comes back and wipes out all the chariots of the Egyptians. You'd think they'd remember that. But then you'd think we would remember when God's met us in the past. So God, I'm just as guilty, forgive me. So then the whole way toward the promised land, what are they doing? Moaning and groaning and complaining. I don't want this, I don't want that, I'm hot. You know, I think I'll just go back to slavery. Slavery was better. I had a house. I had to work for my food and slave for my food, but I had food. Okay? We had trees, we had grass, we had water. This is the desert. Okay? So where are they going? To the land that was promised. Okay? What did God say? It would be a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, you know God does use, my English genius wife isn't in here. Is it a metaphor? He didn't mean they were going to step into the land and it was going to be filled with cows and bees, right? Milk and honey, it was going to be prosperous and fertile and all that. Okay. If God promises us something, then shouldn't we believe he's going to give it to us? Right? Okay. So they arrive outside there. Scholars are not sure how long it took them to get there the first time. Because if you would travel every day and all day and rest a little bit at night, you could probably make the trek across that desert in 2 to 3 weeks. It looks like with all the things happened, it took them closer to 2 to 3 months. But I think they had infants, children, women, old people. They could only go so fast, okay? It wasn't like, you know, everybody was in their 20s and they just put on their backpacks and hiked across. So they finally get there to where God told them to go. And Joshua says, okay, we have 12 tribes. I want a leader from each tribe. You tribes decide who wants to represent you, and you send them to me, and they're going to go spy out the land. He said, look at everything. He said, I want you to look at the people. I want you to look at the land. I want you to see, is there trees? Is there water? Is there crops? Is the land fertile? Are there cities, or do they just camp out, and are the cities fortified? And so you look at everything, take 40 days. Okay, so they sneak into the land, they go east, north, west, and then back. So they see everything. So now remember, there's 12 of them. And they come back and they say, yes, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a grape harvest time. And it said they picked one cluster of grapes, and it was so heavy they had to carry it on a pole between them. And it says they also brought back a couple other examples of fruit. That's a lot of grapes. You could make a whole vat of wine out of just, you know, that little bit of grape. So they go back and they say, just look at what we brought back. And yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, just like God promised. And Joshua and Caleb are like, yes, we can do this. And the other 10 said, yeah, no, we can't. We saw fortified cities, we saw armies, and even worse, we saw giants. Now, this isn't giants like Jack and the Beanstalk, but these were real giants, 8-9 foot tall. We meet one of them a little later, if you recall. They're still around in David's time. So they said, we can't do this. And the people listen to the 10 and not the 2. And they said, well, then we can't do it. We'll just wander around the wilderness the rest of our lives. In fact, you know what? I think we'll get another leader and we'll head back to Egypt. Because this leader brought us here and we can't go in. So we will follow another leader who is willing to take us back to Egypt. God was not happy. I don't know if you know that he gets mad, but he gets mad, and he was mad. He said to Moses, I'll just wipe them all out. Other than you and Joshua and Caleb, boom, they're gone, and I'll start a new nation, and I'll take you in. Now, it just amazes me that you can have a conversation with God and talk him out of what he thinks he might want to do. Moses said, oh God, don't do it. And he gave God all kinds of reasons. The Egyptians will say this, and the people in the land will say this. Don't do it. And God says, okay, but this is what I'm going to do. For every day they were in there, they're going to spend a day, a year, every day is a year, in the wilderness, and nobody over 20 is getting into the land. Ouch! Because of unbelief. Yeah. And so, other than Joshua and Caleb, nobody that was over 20 then made it into the land. They all died in the wilderness. Now, a 2 to 3 week journey, and they traveled around for 40 years. Come on. Wow. Okay, so that part wasn't my sermon, because we've been studying closeness, relationship, prayer, and perseverance. Okay, now I just can't find my Bible app again. I can find the weather. Bible app, there it is. Okay. All right. Wow, this is a tough crowd. I'm not feeling the love. Not feeling the love. Okay, so remember Caleb was, he was 40. I had to think a minute. So he was 40 when this had happened, and they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're starting into the promised land, and another 5 years have gone by. So now this guy is 85. Okay, 85. Okay. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, came to Joshua. And Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me? I was 40 when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord. So that day, Moses promised me, the land of Cana on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive as well as he promised for these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even all the time while Israel was wandering the wilderness, and today I'm 85 years old. And listen what he says. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. Wow. Wow. I'm 65 and I am not as strong as I was when I was 40. I still can't do as much. I still work around my yard and keep after my yard, but I do it a lot slower and it takes me a lot longer. I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. Wow. So, give me that hill country that God promised me 45 years ago. Persistent. Continue believing, expecting, looking for him to do that. You remember that we sent scouts there to that land and saw Anak and his descendants. They're the giants. They lived there in great walled cities. But the Lord is with me, and I will drive them out. What? Come on, an 85-year-old guy. You give me that city that was promised me, and God's still going to help me to drive them out. So Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Hebron to him. Okay. Chapter 15. Okay. So he got this town filled with giants and his descendants. And it says there in 15:13 that the Lord commanded Joshua to assign some of Joshua's territory to Caleb. So Caleb was given Hebron, and Caleb drove out three groups of giants, the descendants of Sisha, Ahiman, and Talmah. They were the three tribes that they saw when they explored the land by name 40 years earlier. And then Caleb went to fight against those living in the town of Debir. Wow. So it is easy to quit when we are called to continue to believe God, continue to persevere, continue to look for the answer. But we are called to be strengthened by God. When I am weak, then I am strong, Paul said. Who wants to admit they're weak? But he said, when I look at my own strength, I am weak. But then that means I'm actually strong because I'm not pulling on my own inner strength, I'm pulling on his strength. So what I felt we were supposed to do today is we're just supposed to, grace means his enabling ability. Some of us need his enabling ability to continue. And we have two songs today. And remember I said it was about closeness? I'm going to pull a Pastor Al today. And I think we're all supposed to come up. And you can either stand, sit, kneel, but don't stay where you are. If you don't want to come the whole way up, I'm not going to make everybody come the whole way up. But you're moving closer to him and you're saying, I need strength from you today. I need you to help me to persevere, to not give up, to not quit. So the first song is one that Trish found and felt like we should listen to sometime, and it's perfect for today. And then the other one is a song that we do a lot in Encounter Nights. So how about we turn out the lights up front, and I want you all to stand up and just move closer. And if you will come the whole way up, then come the whole way up. If you don't want to come the whole way, at least move closer. And we're going to spend some time with him, asking for strength to persevere.
I'm so sorry. We did everything we could.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Cause shame's been all it's stealing. And you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Years until the past had disappeared. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you were going on to. If you could, who can work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Jesus, let my Jesus change your life.
Jesus, we say, come and stay. Come and remain. Come and draw close as we draw close to you. You want to be intimate with us today, that there's no separation, that you're right beside us, that you're right in front of us, that you would even draw close and allow us to give you a hug and receive a hug from you. You want to be that close today. You want us to sense you and hear you and see you and feel you today. Jesus, we say, come and stay. Come and remain. We draw close to you today. Give us the strength that we need to not give up, to not quit, to persevere. Renew our vigor, renew our strength, that we could even proclaim as Caleb, I'm still ready to take the land. Yes, I'm still ready to defeat the enemy.
Yes.
I'm still believing you and standing firmly on your promises 40 years later. Thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for your word that brings hope and life and peace today. We receive those from you today as we leave. And even as Paul asked, we pray that you would give us the right words at the right time to share your good news with others this week, that it would no longer be a secret or a mystery to them, that they would know that God so loved them that he sent his son Jesus, and they can now be reconciled and restored and delivered and healed and saved and set free. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Father, thank you for your great love. We're so grateful today. And Holy Spirit, thank you for empowering us and strengthening us and enabling us and imparting new hope today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.